One day, a young woman came to see me at the parish in which I was residing at the time. She was a woman in her late 20s, a wife and a mother. She and her husband had one child, a son. And I'd never seen her before, and I never saw her afterwards, which is not all that rare. Every once in a while, someone will come, they just want a little bit of advice, and they're on their way. I don't even remember this woman's name. So she sits down, and I'm always a little curious, like, you know, how'd you get here? Why are you here? This woman was not a parishioner of the parish that I was at. So we sit down in my office, and I ask her name. She gives me her name, and I say, "Sarah, why are you here?" And the moment I asked the question, the tears came. And she said, "Father, I'm here because I am so afraid." And I said, "Sarah, why are you afraid?" She said, "Father, I am a worrier." She said, "There are times where anxiety cripples me. In my early 20s, I had to take medication for about 5 years to avoid depression." She said, "I hated it. It was so miserable. When I was finally off that medication, it was such a relief. I never want to go back there again." But she said, "Father, little by little, the anxiety is coming back. And I'm afraid because I worry, what is the effect going to be in my relationship with my husband? How are my kids going to be raised? If God gives me more kids, what's it going to be like with a mom who suffers in this way?" I said, "Okay, why did you come here?" She said, "Father, I've been to counselors. I've been to psychiatrists. I know that if I just had more faith, I would not need the medication." I marveled that she said that. "If I just had more faith." And so she looks me right in the eye and she said, "So I came here to ask you, how do I grow in faith?" And I said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you, you got to be ready for this." I said, "Faith is not magic." I said, "We grow in faith by making the decision that we are going to live by faith." And I said, "When we decide to live by faith, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to be all yours. I am going to follow you no matter what. It means everything. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to be faithful in this aspect of my life, but not in that one. It means following him completely." And she said, "Okay, Father, I think I'm ready." And I said, "Okay, then let me ask you, are there any ways right now in your life that you are not living by faith?" And she takes a deep gulp. She said, "Okay, Father, I haven't been getting to Sunday Mass." I said, "Okay, that's a start. So this Sunday, how about you make a good confession today? You get back to Mass this Sunday and you make the firm resolve you're going to go every Sunday from this day forward." She said, "Okay." I said, "Are there any other ways that you're not living by faith?" And she started to think, and you could tell she was really examining herself. She says, "Well, you know, all the usual stuff, but I don't think there's much you can do about that. Impatience, anger, frustration." And then all of a sudden you see this light bulb go on in her head. And she said, "Oh, yeah, Father, there's one more way." And I said, "What's that?" "Father, I'm on the pill. I'm using artificial contraception. I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing it. But Father, it makes things so much easier." And I said, "Okay, Sarah, if you're going to live by faith, that's got to go." And the moment I said, "That's got to go," she said, "But Father, what if we can't provide for another child? Or what if having another child, we can't take care of this child like we desire? You know, my husband and I, we want to travel when we get older. What's going to be our savings? There were complications in my first pregnancy. You know, I worry, what's my health going to be like? What about the child? I don't want a Down syndrome baby." In about 20 seconds, she rattled off 20 words. And I just looked at her and I said, "Did you just hear yourself? Because you're not choosing to live by faith in this part of your life, all these anxieties are weighing on you. Imagine if you said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give that up. And I'm going to give up all the worries associated with it." And she goes, "Oh my gosh, Father, if I did that, I would be free. I would be free of these anxieties." And for the first time since she walked in the room, there was hope flickering in her eyes. This peace came down upon her, and for the first time, it was like she just began to radiate joy. My brothers and sisters, what is the secret of joy? If we want to possess joy, how do we find it? And not just any joy. What does our Lord say in the gospel today? Complete joy. My joy. Perfect joy. He says, remain in my love. So you say, okay, well, Lord, how do we remain in your love? He goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. If you live according to my word, if you follow the instructions of the church who is my bride, joy will be yours. Do we believe that? A couple of years ago, I was with our sixth grade class and we were watching a movie. I was teaching them religion. And we were watching a movie on Padre Pio. And Padre Pio is this great confessor, as we all know. And we're watching this video, and it's showing all these scenes of people going to confession to him. So the sixth graders say, you know, Father, would you stop the movie? We have questions. I said, yeah, of course, absolutely. So we put it on pause, and all the questions came. You know, is this a sin? Is that a sin? What about this? And we're going through everything, and we start going through the commandments. And then finally, after a few minutes, this one of the sixth graders raises his hand and goes, Father, as Catholics, we can't do anything. As if to say, how can you be happy and follow the teachings of the church? My brothers and sisters, we can do a lot of things. But what our Lord does not want us to do is fall into sin. If following the commandments brings us joy, what happens when we don't follow them? The result of sin is sadness. And we fall into the same sins over and over. We keep thinking, oh, this time it's going to bring me joy, right? The result of sin is sadness. When our Lord gave these words, it was the night of the Last Supper. And on that occasion, He gave three gifts to the church. He gave the Eucharist. He gave His body and His blood. He gave the priesthood when He said to His apostles, do this in memory of me. Continue my sacrifice. And He gave a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And He gave all three on the same occasion because they are inseparable. Without the priesthood, there's no Eucharist. Without the Eucharist, we cannot love as He loves. The Eucharist is the source of all love. But something that often goes overlooked in this gospel is in the midst of this, our Lord speaks of joy. If you are going to love as I love, it means loving joyfully. And I want to close with a story, a true story. There is a man whose cause is up for canonization. His name is Charles de Foucault. He's already beatified by the church. Blessed Charles de Foucault. In his early life, he was a playboy, lived a fast life, was so far from God that on one occasion he said of himself, I was so completely selfish, so vain, so wicked, that I was one step away from insanity. I knew that if I continued in this life, I would lose my mind. And he said in the midst of this, he remembered his childhood faith, the Catholic faith. But he had been so far away from practicing any religion whatsoever. He lived in France that all he could get himself to do was every once in a while enter in the back doors of a church. And he couldn't even walk down the aisles. He would just enter in and he would say this prayer. My God, if you exist, let me come to know you. I am at my wit's end. If you exist, let me come to know you. And on one of these occasions, he entered in the back doors of the church, and it was in the middle of the celebration of Holy Mass, and the priest was just elevating the Eucharist. And before he even said that prayer, he fell on his knees. And the woman in the back row said that he uttered these words, "My God, you are real." He never told anyone what took place in that moment. All he would say is, "In a single instant, my heart was touched and I believed." Okay, what did he believe though? He believed in the Eucharist. He believed it was Jesus Christ, but it was all the rest of the church's teachings that he thought, what about those? But he was honest with himself, so he thought, you know what, I should just go tell a priest. You know, Father, I feel like I've been given this gift of faith, but, you know, I can't accept all that stuff. So one day, and he'd been away for a long time, so he kind of forgot how things worked. He just walked into a church, middle of the week one time, and by a rare exception, I don't know what kind of parish this was, no one was there, but the priest was just sitting in the confessional, and the light was on, and no one was in line. And so he goes in, and he has no desire to make a confession, no intention to do so, but he goes into the confessional, and he's face to face with the priest, and he says to him, "Father, don't be surprised, I'm not here for confession. I don't have the faith. I only wish to learn a few things about the Catholic religion that I'm struggling with." And the priest looked at him and he said, "You don't have the faith. Did you ever have the faith?" And he said, "Yeah, Father, but that was years ago in my adolescence. It's been 13 years. But now I'm unable to believe. There are so many obstacles. I look at some of the dogmas of the church and I think, really? And what about all those miracles our Lord worked? Were those true?" And the priest looked at him and said, "My son, you are mistaken. What is missing now in order for you to believe is a pure heart. Get down on your knees, make a confession, and you will believe." He said, "But Father, I didn't come for that." The priest said, "I know you didn't, but God had a plan you didn't know about." He made a confession of his whole life. He got up and he said, "I was filled with a peace and a joy that I never thought possible." Because he finally let go of all those ways in which he had not followed our Lord's commandments. He became a priest and devoted his life entirely to the service of others. My brothers and sisters, if there are any ways that we are not living according to the commandments, that we are not following our Lord's way of life, let's ask him for the courage to let go, that we might know his joy and then love as he loves.